You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Friday, so we are joined by Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here. Dan, before we move on, I wanted to share this breaking at this hour. The Trump administration has filed an emergency stay motion at the First Circuit, trying to block the judge's order to pay full SNAP benefits for November. Yeah, they really don't want to make people to get their benefits. They really, really don't.
Yeah, this lawless administration is defying court orders left and right on so many different things. But this one, you know, this one, they're trying their darndest to not have to feed people.
And I don't understand.
They're doing, they're bombing boats in the middle of the Caribbean or whatever, and which is completely outside of the duties.
The scope
of
law.
Raising tariffs all the time. But now this is where they really want to, you know, plant their flag.
Well, and I wonder, then how do you come back to folks and say, we really want to take care of you? We're the Republican Party. We want to take care of you, but we're going to fight tooth and nail to make sure your SNAP benefits don't get funded, you little moochers.
Well, and that's kind of brings it into the what I was discussing before we ran out to grab a snack and some water. We're back now, and I want to talk about that is the messaging of the modern MAGA movement, which I think it's safe to say, based on Tuesday's election, there was a wide swath of Americans who said these policies are unpopular. We don't like this direction. Okay, that's done. Those people won or they lost. Now we move on to Wisconsin, and we're going to have a whole host of people running for office. Now, the Democrats, they're going to do what they need to do. They're going to run on their message. I'm not really focusing on what they're going to say, but you're going to have Republicans, Tom Tiffany included, who are going to, in order to have any sort of popularity and want an endorsement from Donald Trump or the MAGA movement, they're going to have to hook their wagon onto this message, which isn't popular, but here is the rub. They can't come out and then say, I don't like any of these policies. I'm a real Republican because I want to do X, Y, and Z to help you, which is fine. But then you are going to be called a rhino. They can run someone against you just because they don't like you. Wisconsin Republicans who want to either run for office or run for reelection are in a very, very untenable situation because they have to somehow make this turd be shiny. Because America said no this week, and now next year they have to say, SNAP benefits, that's something we'll talk about later. Like, they're going to have to defend these policies, and we've seen them try to do this in town halls, and they fail spectacularly every single time. So I want to know from the callers, from Dan, from you, Jane, Cal, throw your 2 cents in as well. How do Republicans campaign on this message that America has said, nah, we're good?
I think they will just try to narrow the focus and only want to talk about the issues that they want to talk about. They're going to talk about immigration. They're going to talk about crime. You know, they're going to talk about any number of things like that. That the fear mongering. We know this that from recent Wisconsin elections that they're really going to dial up all kinds of the fear mongering type messaging, and it is the. Always the old fallback that Republicans will go to whenever that they don't have a great message to run on, which I don't think they do right now. And we talked about, you know, the economic issues, I think, should be first and foremost for all of this. Mm-hmm. I think Republicans also lost on immigration in these elections this week, too. And I think in some of these swings that you see, you know, down ballot in Virginia and Atlanta, elsewhere, big swings in Latino populations going back to Democrats.
Yes.
And so, like, if that was part of the calculus that Republicans were baking in, hey, we have this new coalition that we've brought a number of Hispanic voters onto the Republican side. I don't know if they're sticking around after what has been happening these past couple of years, instead of going after, you know, the criminals the way that they
the
said they would.
The worst of the worst.
They're sending people to daycares in Chicago and tear gassing residential neighborhoods under this banner of mass deportation. And I don't think regular people like that approach. I think people are okay with, you know, deporting people who are repeat criminals or whatever it might be. But when you have people going into daycares and tear gassing residential neighborhoods, that's a different dynamic.
When they have to say, please don't tear gas them during trick or treat, there is a massive problem. But then on the other side of that coin then, and by the way, if you're just joining us, I'm Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are talking to Civic Media's political editor and founder of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, Mr. Dan Schaefer. And we're talking about Tuesday's elections, what it means for America, what it means for Wisconsin coming up in 2026. And I think the other, you know, Democrats, don't walk away too quickly. I got something for you all to find out, is that for the past 10 months, they've been licking their wounds off of definite voter turnout from last year, saying, yeah, we don't like what you're doing either. We don't trust what you're doing. We didn't like your candidate. We didn't like your messaging. You guys said the economy was great. My groceries are going up. So what I'm afraid of is that Democrats, the Democratic Party, I want to talk about it in machine, like, corporate terms, the Democratic Party will sit there and go, oh, see, it's fine now. We're doing better. We just do this. No, you've got to take the momentum and still build a cogent, succinct message for people to digest quickly and get on board, instead of just shrugging your shoulders going, well, I guess
they're fine now.
I guess they like us now, so let's keep doing what we're doing.
You're right. This has to be a sustained action. This has to be up and down the ballot. And I think it has to be, you know, I think there's some people who are trying to draw conclusions from these elections, say, oh, Mamdani won, so obviously we should give the progressives a turn. Or Spanberger won in Virginia, let's give the moderates a turn.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think it's the approach has to be both.
Yeah.
It has to be the big tent of bringing together all corners of the big tent that is the Democratic Party, and getting them to row in the same direction and not be bogged down by the party infighting and the litmus tests and all of those different things, to recognize that in order to defeat Trump, in order to defeat Republicans, it's going to take all ideological
yes.
sides of the Democratic Party. And it's not just my guy won, so this is the path. It is bringing everybody together under that big tent and having that narrative to go forward, especially focusing on the economy, focusing on the issues that Donald Trump has not fixed that he pledged to, and just the fact that, look, over and over again, we have a better economy under Democrats. I mean, I know Bill Clinton said that at the DNC last year, and it kind of flew under the radar, but it's just like,
it's accurate.
Over and over again, yep. Republicans tend to, like, I turned 40 this week. In my lifetime, there has not been a great economy under a Republican president.
I want to go back a little bit, Dan, when you were talking about the Hispanic vote and the Tuesday results that saw some big shifts. And I saw something yesterday, some of the talking heads were saying, so the new maps that Greg Abbott in Texas essentially said, Trump told me to do this, so I'm doing this. Didn't ask the constituents, people didn't get to vote about it. Greg Abbott just did this. That may come back to bite them now because of the way that these maps were drawn. They just assumed that a lot of people in these areas that had Hispanics in it were going to continue to support Trump. Tuesday's results, maybe that's not making them feel so good.
That looks like, Jane, to me, short-sighted thinking without long-range planning.
Mm.
That's what we in the political science nerd community call a dummy-mander.
Yes,
so they
yes.
are dummy-mandering themselves by, they assumed that the shifts that happened, particularly in Southwest Texas near the border last year, which shifted in a big way away from Biden towards Trump, they are assuming that those were permanent shifts.
Right.
And I think what we've seen over and over again with the Republican Party is that when Trump is not on the ballot, it is a different electorate that turns out. It is a different turnout group. They had super high turnout among Republicans last year who came to vote for Trump, but that hasn't been that wasn't the case in the midterms in 2018, wasn't the case in the midterms in 2022. It wasn't, and if we look ahead to next year, it is a different electorate that turns out the midterms than it has turned out in general elections more broadly, and particularly when Trump is on the ballot.
Well, and even some of his endorsements this time around did not go so well.
No. J.D. Vance's half-brother lost. No. I mean, I know it's his half, but still, like, there shows there's not a lot of cachet. And something, Dan, you said, I think that's very, very important for the Democrats and the Democratic Party and that machine to remember is that the purity test cannot happen. Look, you can run progressive candidates in major cities. They have shots. People will agree with those policies maybe a little bit better than, say, a Pennsylvania working-class steel town. But you can run a moderate. What the Democratic Party needs to look at is who needs what where, run the best candidates who can do it. And then the biggest challenge is then finding that unifying candidate for the presidential race who can speak to everyone. And honestly, right now, and he gives me goosebumps when I listen to him talk, and I never thought I'd say this, is Pete Buttigieg. He can talk to everyone about anything, and he's measured, he's professional, but he has passion and patriotism in his voice when I listen to him talk, and he's never trying to do anything but have a conversation with people who both agree and disagree with him. And I think you need someone like that to unify that party in that vein. Not him. I'm not endorsing anyone. I'm just saying he cannot be It cannot be a stalwart that just says, come with us, we'll take care of you, because that won't work again.
Well, and what I love about Pete Buttigieg in particular is he is completely unflappable.
Yeah.
You cannot rattle that guy. You can throw whatever at him, and he's got the answers, he's got facts to back it up, and he is measured and well-spoken, and... Yeah, I think some other politicians could learn a lot from watching how Pete Buttigieg communicates.
He's a great communicator. That's no doubt about that. He was part of the Biden administration, and people don't love the Biden administration necessarily. So I think that would be a challenge. But I do think, again, it's just the recognizing the need for this to be a big tent approach going forward and getting rid of those litmus tests and making it so that more people can be in the tent and we're not kicking anybody out of it.
Yeah. And instead of having someone at a podium yelling, here, come here, let's all get together, put people at various places in the tent to organize them. And then we'll all listen as one instead of bickering and fighting over who is the better Democrat or liberal or progressive or whatever.
Well, and I think we heard this from activists who were on the ground, the importance of people in that community being the ones who knock on doors, because you shop at the same grocery stores and you go to the same doctor's offices and things like that, that makes a big difference by having local folks knocking on local doors.
There was one quote from a consultant in New York City talking about the Mamdani race and why it was successful. And it was somebody who worked with the campaign and just like, make it a campaign about the actual New York City. Not about like the national narratives about New York, not about like what are this and that and the other thing that you see in Fox News or whatever it might be, the actual New York City.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the approach that needs to be taken everywhere. Make it about the actual Waukesha County, the actual Wisconsin, the actual, you know, this, that, and the other going forward. That needs to be the approach.
Dan Schaefer will be here. We're going to talk about Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction. Finally, we heard something. We'll kick that around next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area, joins us every Friday to kick things around. Finally, after that devastating report from the Cap Times about Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction, which looks like they were covering up for teachers who were being accused of abuse and grooming, Dr. Jill Underley has finally come out with a statement. What is your reaction to that, Dan? I think your mic is muted.
Apologies. I'm glad that she showed up. Of course, I think it was ridiculous that she didn't show up for the last
sooner.
One. I'm glad that she showed up for this one, and I'm glad that she is proposing reforms within the Department of Public Instruction, addressing a number of things. I don't love that she called it a political sideshow in one of the comments.
Yeah.
Especially considering that there is good, solid investigative reporting that happened at the Cap Times. It led to an assembly committee hearing that she had to answer for. It led to this host of proposed reforms. And that's what good reporting can do.
Yes.
And good investigative journalism. Shout out to the Cap Times.
Yes.
Shout out to the reporters and editors who have been working on this. I saw, you know, a comment from one of the editors at the Cap Times saying that is it a political sideshow when your department reacts to the reporting with a bunch of proposed reforms?
No,
it seems like now, outside of a little bit of the circus that has happened here, things have kind of followed a path that they should.
Mm-hmm.
We have an investigative report. It is taken seriously by leadership in the state. They hold informational hearings. They hold public hearings. They try to get to the bottom of what's happening, and they propose reforms and changes. That seems like the type of process that we should applaud. I think some of what Underley's handling of this in not showing up to the first one and criticizing the reporting and calling it a sideshow, I don't like, and I think she is wrong to be taking that type of approach.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, if this reporting is going to lead to more transparency at the Department of Public Instruction about these investigations into, you know, misconduct involving teachers or people working in schools, that's a good thing.
Yes.
If we have more transparency at the end of the day on that. If this leads to a law, as I believe has been proposed as part of this process, that would define what grooming is and, you know, have some sort of penalties for those teachers who engage these types of activities, I think that's a good thing. You know, I will caution a little bit about the Republicans about this, because it does seem like they are maybe getting a little bit out over their skis and making this, you know, mm-hmm. a campaign issue,
yeah,
or something like that,
yeah,
which I'm not sure that it is. It is good investigative reporting that has revealed a problem, and they have the opportunity to solve that problem. And I think ultimately at the end of the day, that's the type of thing that we should, you know, and I saw some of the comments from Republicans in that hearing say, like, hey, it's from the Cap Times, not exactly a, you know, a bastion of
integrity.
Not exactly the, no, not, I forget
liberal,
exactly
like
the
liberal
terminology,
like,
so I don't want to, like, misquote anybody. But, like, I think the insinuation was, oh, it's this kind of, like, left-leaning paper from,
yeah,
Madison. If they're saying it, then it's, no, we should respond to, like, any good investigative reporting by taking it seriously and getting to the bottom of things.
And
you know,
as you pointed out, Dan, this is another good reason why we should all be supporting our local reporting outlets by subscribing. Because when you don't have humans on the ground,
mm-hmm,
you don't get these kinds of reports. You don't get this kind of investigation, which can take a long time. We talked to John Dietrich at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Some of the stories they've done about gun violence, those take months to put together. And again, it's on the ground, reporters tracking people down, meeting them face to face. It's there is a lot involved in good journalism, and that's why it costs money.
It's hard work.
It
Investigative
is.
Journalism is hard work. And like, this was a year in the making from the Cap Times reporter Danielle Duclos. I'm not 100% sure. Apologies to that reporter if I'm mispronouncing your last name. But yeah, this was a year in advance. And she tweeted yesterday, since the first installment of Dismissed, that's the name of the series, was published, state superintendent increased access to misconduct data. Legislators have held 3 hearings, and nonpartisan state auditors are auditing DPI's licensed misconduct investigations. Again, this wouldn't have happened without some good, solid investigative journalism.
Yep.
We need more of that. We need to support the outlets that are doing that too.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, the comments we got when we talked about it for the couple of weeks was that, you know, they unfortunately on the Republicans want to make a lot of this, but I would say, you know, as I think getting above their skis is a very good way of putting it. But Democrats I've spoken to can't really talk to the silence that came through. And Tony Evers said something. He joined them Hakeem Jeffries, Mike Johnson club's like, well, I don't know what's going on. I haven't heard anything. You are the governor. You know. You know.
This, that's not an acceptable response. So that is not an acceptable response.
So it's very, very frustrating. And I'm glad that these new points are being put into play for access, for oversight. It's great. But I'm sorry. And my thing that I'm always thinking about is the fact that Jill Underly could have done this in her first term because it was known what was going on then. And that's what then. And they're doing it because they were caught. And that's the really frustrating thing to me.
That's why we need good journalism.
Yeah.
And we need to support good journalism.
Like Dan Schaefer.
Like our news department. We have news coming up next. And then we're going to lighten it up with some audio sorbet rules as we get older. Oh, yeah. There's rules we should all be following. Bad news, guys. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Kelvin, on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area. This is the portion of the show where we like to lighten things up and get away from the news and take a breath. We call it audio sorbet. Today's audio sorbet comes from a discussion earlier this morning.
Yeah.
On Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
6 to 9, Monday through Friday, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There you go. Greg was on the show this morning. And Pat was all on this kick about men of a certain age cannot wear sports jerseys anymore.
Yeah. So
he said, they say, and there's always this amorphous they. We don't know who these experts are, but they're there. They say that when a man turns 60, you're not supposed to wear sports jerseys anymore.
And because today is National Jersey Day.
Yes.
And when we were talking about this, and it wasn't just that, it was the fact that Pat, as well as a couple of texters, were saying it as if it was common knowledge that, of course, you're a man of a certain age, you don't wear sports jerseys. Get yourself right. Put on a suit and tie. You know, it just was this thing of like, yeah, that's what everyone, why don't you know this? And I was truly shocked by the information, and I completely disagree with it.
I think, would agree. I would disagree also.
I think those sorts of rules are, let me see, what's the word I'm looking for? Dumb? And I think if you want to be a 100-year-old person and wear a sports jersey, you can do that. So, and we're also bringing this up because, as Dan mentioned earlier, you did celebrate a rather momentous birthday this week. Calvin, do we have something indeed to celebrate that?
Calvin's screening the call.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
40 years old.
There you go.
Dan Schaefer turning 40 years old earlier
over
this
the
week.
Hill.
Oh, my goodness. Happy birthday, Dan.
Thank you.
That's also, we've talked about that too on the show, is that when I was growing up, I don't know about you, Dan, and I'm sure Jane, you know this too, but people would throw over the hill parties with like black streamers, and there was an over the hill like economy in the party favor world.
Yes.
And those just don't really happen anymore. Like, I had a 40th birthday party. It wasn't an over the hill birthday party. It was just
you didn't get Metamucil as a gift or
No, I got pizza, which was great. And I wore a sports jersey. No, I'm just kidding. I just don't feel like we treat 40 the way we used to. It was sort of like the beginning of your midlife. And I'm a middle-aged man.
You're okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
You can almost say it out loud.
But yeah, I just what do you like? You're 40 now, Dan. I know it's not much different than 39, and it's not going to be much different than 41, but what is your first impressions of 40?
Well, I'm old. I feel old.
Oh, cool, man. Well, have a good day, everybody.
You're a youngster.
No, but I feel like I am the age that I am. Like, I have two kids and been married for more than 10 years, and have we're homeowners,
right?
And
you have a mortgage.
I have a good job and I have a mortgage and all of, like, I feel like I do a lot of things that 40-year-olds do.
Yeah.
So my kids sure keep me young a whole lot. And I have my youngest is home today from school because they had a day off.
Oh, that's sparkly.
He was having a wonderful time not interrupting the show by watching The Parent Trap on an iPad.
Which Parent Trap? Which one?
The Lindsay Lohan one.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's right. The girl's favorite movie.
Yeah.
I feel 40. Like I feel that age, and so I'm embracing it. I've been leaning into it this year.
Good.
It is still just like this week has been a little discombobulating, let's say, to see like that actual number appear and to wake up and be 40 years old and all of that. So,
well,
it's a lot, but you know, I had a really good actual birthday on Wednesday. I saw a movie, went out to dinner with a bunch of friends and had some Indian food. And then my wife got us a stay at the Pfister for the night.
Nice.
I had a really, really nice birthday, and my wife set up some amazing gifts for me and all of that too. So it's been a real, really fun
week. Well, a mutual colleague, Tony Lorino, sent me a link earlier this week. The People magazine, of course, has picked their sexiest man alive, whose name is Jack Bailey.
Sure.
His name is Bailey. And he sent it to me and he said, sexiest man alive could be Dan Schaefer. You look up. There is a resemblance between you and People's sexiest man alive, Dan Schaefer. So take that for what it's worth.
All right. I will tell my wife that over and over again.
Take that weird compliment, Dan.
Maybe tell her that once. Yeah. I wouldn't overplay that too much.
I will overplay it.
Our audio sorbet topic today is, what rules have you been told that you shouldn't do X at this age?
Yeah.
What rules have you been told which you flout?
Yeah.
Because that shouldn't be a thing, really.
Yeah.
For women, and I can say this as a woman of a certain age, women my age should not have hair this long.
Wait, you're saying that people tell you that, or that's your...
Oh, that's a rule. They say.
The royal they,
women over 50 should not have hair longer than shoulder length, and mine is longer than shoulder length, and I am breaking that rule.
Google Demi Moore. Done.
Oh, if I only... Yes, we had so much in common. 855-752-4842. What rules do they say that you shouldn't do anymore after a certain age? And you're like, yeah, I'm not going to buy that. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Cindy from Appleton is joining us on the phone. Good morning, Cindy. What do you want to say?
Well, I have 2 points to make. The first one is, I didn't think you were supposed to wear diapers over 60 either.
What?
Okay.
Depends.
Oh.
Come on.
I'm sorry, Cindy. I've never seen you try to crack a joke before, so I didn't know what to do with that information, okay?
So anyway, I didn't think we're supposed to wear diapers over 60. And my second point is, life's too dang short.
Yep.
Whatever the heck you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's my thing, is like this arbitrary idea that people, I think it was for men too. Men shouldn't wear sports. I do not understand the correlation between age and sports jerseys, because we see people wearing them all the time, of all ages, of all ilks, sizes, colors. It doesn't matter.
Right.
As long as it's not a Bears jersey. But the point is, you can wear a jersey whenever you want. So yeah, that's one I just don't understand. And I agree, Cindy, that thing of, well, you're getting older, so you should do X. And I just feel like you should do what makes you happy. And if that thing is, you know,
wearing a jersey,
do you like, are you a person who likes building Lego? Lego is for all ages. You know, it's like that. It's a very bygone tradition, in my opinion, to be like, well, because it stems from the, well, that's how we did it when I was younger. That's how we've always, and we've talked about this point before, but on a political matter of like, well, this is how we've always done it. Well, then times have changed.
It's
and
time to not do it that way anymore.
Exactly.
Never a good reason to do things.
That's, do you,
it's the way we've always done it. That's never a good reason to keep doing things.
Being, you mentioned like from your point of view, Dan, you know, you got married, you've been married for more than 10 years, you have two kids, you are 40 years old, you have a house, you have jobs, you have responsibilities, you have, I think, what people would call the typical American life. What opinions do you hear coming in your circles of, like, of age, or of, you know, you're too old to do this, too young to do that? You know, what do you hear from people? Because I don't run some certain circles. Like, I don't run in parent circles because they're like, where are your kids? I'm like, funny story, I don't have any, but I'm still here to party. But what do you hear from people?
Well, I think it is, I think you're right. There's just, like, less of, fewer examples of just like, oh, you need to be doing things mm-hmm. like this at a certain age. Like, there are some people who say you have to be, you know, parenting a certain, you know. Yeah, somebody's chiming
Speaking
in
Speaking of
here.
Parenting, yes. He'll be right there, sweetie.
But I think, you know, I think there is a lot of things happening in the millennial generation where you just kind of have this approach where you make your own rules on certain things. I think that is kind of a hallmark of our generation in a lot of ways, where you don't have to be this buttoned up version of what maybe people thought a 40-year-old person
should be.
Might or should be. So I think that's a lot. You know, I have friends who are, you know, had kids much younger, are still thinking of having kids later. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, but I think there's a lot of examples that are people are kind of just like getting rid of these old rules and carving their own path. And I think that is ultimately the way that people should do things.
855-752-4842. Audio Sorbet today. We're talking about the rules that they set.
Mm-hmm.
This royal they, we don't know who these experts are, but they say,
yeah.
Men shouldn't wear sports jerseys over this age. Women over 50 shouldn't have their hair longer than their shoulders.
Women shouldn't exist over 50 because what good are you? Well, that's what I feel like the society is saying.
Carmela from Milwaukee, listening on WAUK, says, this is the most ridiculous non-political thing I've heard in a long time. Don't tell my husband. He just turned 64 in October. He wears sports jerseys and concert t-shirts as his regular attire.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. He can pull off business and dress attire like no one's business. He wore a tux for our wedding last year, and he owned it.
There you go.
I think that, you know, I feel like Gen X, being, you know, between the two generations, kind of did their best to, like, say throughout, especially the 90s, I don't have to listen to you. I don't care what you think. And we did whatever we wanted to do in our Gen X way. But I feel like millennials specifically, Dan, I think you're absolutely right. As millennials knock on 40 years old, which is bonkers pants, you guys have destigmatized a lot of things, from the very fun to the very serious discussion points. I think one of them actually has to do with, you know, being married at a certain age, having kids at a certain age, having kids at all. And, you know, not having these not doing these things because someone told you had to, or you were expected, saying, I'll get married when I find love, or maybe I won't. Maybe I'll have a partner for 35 years and I'll be just as happy. Maybe I'll have 12 kids. Maybe I'll adopt one child. Maybe we'll give all of our love to a dog. I'm just saying, the last part's about me. But I think that millennials are done a very good job
of rejecting
things on the level of logic too. And not like a, because Gen X was like, PJ on the live stream, Gen X said here and we don't care. That's fine. But I think what Gen X actually did is said, when you were given, you know, social cues, you guys said, why? Like, why should I have to? And then there's like, oh, I can't tell. Because that's how we've always done it.
855-752-4842. Betsy from Jefferson on the line. Real quickly, Betsy, what did you want to say? Thanks for joining us.
Hi, my niece told me that women shouldn't have long hair after 30. She told me that when I was about 40.
Oh, my.
I'm rocking long hair. Yep, I'm rocking long hair at 66. I've worn it the same way. It was easiest to put it up when I was in the military than have to style it every morning.
Yep. So, yeah, again, we're rejecting those.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let Brett from Brown Deer have the last word on this. At 63, I let my body make the rules. In my 50s, my brain told me to no longer jump off the back of a truck. Good thinking. Go with that.
You listening,
go
kids?
Go with that. Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday to recombobulate. Thank you so much, Dan. We will see you next week. Stay close. This Shouldn't Be a Thing is on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show on Monday, you will have the day off.
I will have the day off.
You're going to have the day off. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you for taking a day off, because who vacates nowadays?
Well, no, because you're going to have something, a health procedure done, and I'm good for you.
Thank you very much.
A lot of people end up putting off their colonoscopies. Don't do it. Go get one.
And now you know.
Now you know.
I offered to call in afterwards, and I was told no. So
after I had mine, yeah. I was so out of it. Yeah. Trust me, the last.
That's when you want me on the show.
No. I want you to go home and relax and. Yeah. Take a nap, because you're going to want it.
Yeah.
So Joseph Pecky is going to be joining us, a political consultant. Mm-hmm. Great guy. Joe's going to join us for the first half an hour of Monday's show. Then Civic Media's news director, Shally Pittman, will be here to recap all of the things that happened over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about Medicare. Enrollment period is underway. I talked to a friend of mine yesterday who is 87, who said he had 22 calls yesterday for Medicare Advantage plans.
Oh, yeah.
22 mm-hmm. calls.
Yes.
It's important to note that Medicare is not the same thing as Medicare Advantage.
Should not be called that.
No, it really shouldn't. So Ingrid Kundinger with the Medicare Patrol Program is the Medicare Patrol Program Director, and she's going to join us on Monday to talk about the differences between Medicare mm-hmm. and all these Medicare Advantage plans.
Yeah.
They're not the same thing, and a lot of people sell them that way.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's about. It's about making a sale.
Yep.
It is just about 10:55, Kelvin. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Should you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from CNN. Jack Guy with the byline.
That's a fake name.
Headline reads... Paris residents can now enter lottery to share cemetery space with Jim Morrison and Oscar Wilde. The city of Paris announcing a lottery with a twist. Instead of a cash prize, entrants can win the opportunity to be buried in one of Paris's most celebrated cemeteries. The plan is an effort to restore tombs that have fallen into disrepair, while also giving residents of Paris a rare opportunity to secure one of the highly sought-after plots. Cemeteries within Paris have been almost full since the beginning of the 20th century. It's a finite amount of space.
Yeah. Every time French people want to think they're better than us, I'm just going to think of this story now.
For now, winners of the lottery will be granted the opportunity to buy... So it's not like you just get this. You enter this lottery,
yeah.
And if they pick you, then you can buy and restore one of the 30 tombs in three different cemeteries. Wait, City Hall agreeing to lease the corresponding burial plot to those who meet certain standards.
Lease. That doesn't mean own. That means what? Somewhere down the road, they can excavate
kick
you and
out?
Kick you out and... You're getting evicted. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I see problems here. In recent decades, cemetery visitors throughout France have expressed an interest in restoring the funerary monuments in order to get a burial plot concession in return, according to City Hall. But giving them a chance to do so has been complicated because of laws that determine where you can put a tomb, where it has to be, under... There's all kinds of things involved here. But now City Hall says they think they found a solution. 10 plots up for grabs in the Père Lachaise Cemetery, which includes Doors frontman Jim Morrison and playwright Oscar Wilde.
this is, I mean, so you're in a lottery to win. If you win, you have to buy, you lease the space.
Each existing tomb is available to buy for about $4,600. You also have to pay to restore it.
Well, that's okay. So $4,600, actually, I'm a little surprised. I thought it was going to be way more expensive. I thought what they were going to do was sell you an entire package that would include the plot and the restoration.
Well, yes.
Okay.
If you want to, for the lease costs about $1,100 for a 10-year contract. If you shell out $20,000, they won't kick you out.
I don't even like the Doors this much. Why would I enter this contest? I mean, and Oscar Wilde would think this was hilarious.
He actually would.
This is
Jim Morrison would be appalled. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media, because without all of you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, Pete Schwabba, and much, much more. We are the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.